This is Nirupam. Today I'm going to present our paper, Ripple Communicating Through Physical Vibration. This is a joint work with Mahant and my advisor, Romit. Every mobile phone comes with a tiny device called vibrator motor. And this is responsible to generate the vibration alert in our phone. Smartphone also comes with sensors called accelerometer that measure the motion of the phone. So essentially, one phone can touch the other phone and transmit bits of information as the patterns of vibration. And the other phone can sense this vibration and recover the data. Here, the simple way to communicate may be the Morse code-like pattern by turning the motor on and off. But in this paper, we are moving away from this technique and trying to develop techniques that can directly modulate the individual vibration of the vibrator motor, which can, this technique can offer significantly higher data rate than this on-off style pattern can ever achieve. So with this promise, we hope to introduce a new modality in the short distance communication paradigm, what we call vibratory communication. Now the concern is, which new application this vibratory communication can offer to us? And at this moment, we don't know the answer for sure, we are just guessing. One possible application is mobile money transfer. Apple has been doing it with NFC, Square has been doing it with a special piece of hardware. But in recent time, there have been several attacks launched which essentially overhear the wireless broadcast of NFC. And Square needs this extra piece of hardware. We are hoping that with our project Ripple, two phones would be able to touch each other and exchange credit card information, or in general, any information they might like to share. Another application could also be in authentication, where we are envisioning that a vibramotor would be inserted inside the ring, and if the ring can store the password of the user, she could simply touch the phone and the password could be transmitted through bone conduction. Going one step forward, we can establish a two-factor authentication with this vibratory communication while the user making gesture with his hand and the ring simultaneously transmitting the password to the device. And finally, it might be possible that implantable medical devices communicate with each other using the skeleton as the channel, and thereby eliminating the RF radiation, which has often been a concern for many people in medical research. Again, we want to emphasize that we don't know what the real application or what the killer app is. However, here we are hoping to do the research bottom up. And we are trying to develop our vibratory radio on the top of the hardware like accelerometer, vibration motor, etc. We believe once the techniques are ready with sufficient data rate, the application will emerge over time. This talk is about the technique that we have used to take the system from a few bits per second to 400 bits per second, a more secure system. So let's start with the overview of the vibration motor and the accelerometer. The vibration motor has a magnetic mass placed near a coil. When we apply voltage to this coil, it creates an electromotive force that makes the mass to move. And this oscillation creates the vibration. The accelerometer has a movable structure that responds to this vibration and converts this vibration to the electrical signal. While we randomly turn on and off the vibration motor, we get a pulse like this, which is basically a combination of various frequencies which are uncontrolled and have different rise and decay rate, this long tail basically limits the shortest possible pulse that we can have with this vibration motor. So first, we regulate the input signal of the motor to generate the vibration of a single frequency. However, due to the inertial motion of the magnetic mass, the whole system behaves like a damp second order system, and we get a decaying pulse like this. So to stop this ringing effect, we apply one technique that's called vibration breaking. While the paper has detailed description of this technique, we are basically using the reverse electromotive force that is present in the motor to stop the prematurely stop the natural ringing of the mass. Now, when we have a shorter pulse and single frequency, now we can apply amplitude modulation to encode bits of information. And this demo implements the single carrier system. Here the smartphone is transmitting the data to vibration, and this standalone accelerometer setup receiving the data and sending it to the computer. Now looking for more opportunities, we are moving from single carrier system to multi-carrier system. And the multi-carrier system is basically a collection of various single carrier systems set at different frequencies. They are put together and sent through the vibration motor. Now when we transmit 10 such channels together, the system completely fails. We could not recover any data. And the reason is the vibration motor doesn't behave similarly for all frequencies. The frequency response shows that the vibration motor gives extremely high gain for a band of frequency, which we called the resonant band. Apparently, high gain is good for the transmission, but the frequency domain plot indicates that when we drive the vibration motor with resonance frequency, it becomes nonlinear and spills energy all over the spectrum. It basically ruins the opportunity to transmit data in parallel channels. As a simple solution, we avoided this resonance band while selecting carriers for multi-carrier system. Now, upon receiving this multi-carrier signal, we filter each of the carriers separately and perform the envelope detection on the top of that in the time domain to recover the bits of information. And putting all the carriers together, we achieve 200 bits per second. And the next technique is about the transmission of orthogonal transmission of vibration in orthogonal dimensions. Most of the accelerometer can sense vibration along three orthogonal axes. Therefore, probably we can transmit three separate data streams simultaneously. However, when we apply vibration along an axis, it partially appears on the other axis and interferes with the signal that we might want to transmit on that axis. And this field signal, what we observe that this field signal has 180 degree phase lag with the actual signal. And in the next example, I'll explain how we can exploit this phenomena to eliminate this interference. So say we apply a signal on y-axis, and it gets a spill on the z-axis, and it has the phase difference. The similarly, when we apply the signal on the z-axis, it will create a spill on the y-axis. Before decoding the data, we scale up the y-axis signal in such a way that the amplitude of the interference exactly matches with the actual signal on the z-axis. Then we simply add them together, and this completely removes the effect of the interference, and we get a y-axis signal without any interference. Once we get the y-axis signal, we can simply subtract it from the combination to recover the other signal. And with this technique, we are able to transmit two 200 bits per second data stream simultaneously on the y and z-axis. As the vibration doesn't broadcast signal in the air, security might be an application area for this. However, there are some side channels. So along with the vibration, the moving mass of the motor generates sound while vibrating at very high speed. And this is correlated with the transmitted data. Therefore, even if the actual vibratory signal is not accessible, the eavesdropper can listen to this sound and decode the data. One simple solution can be using some jamming signal on the top of that. As we are not transmitting on the audio on the audio domain, we can use arbitrarily large jamming signal in this media. So how it happens, the device transmits the vibratory signal, so it generates a sound of the vibration, and the built-in co-located speaker can generate the jamming sound. When this the combination makes it difficult for the attacker to recover the data. Now, for various reasons, jamming is not the ideal solution. Instead, as we have the information about the transmitted vibration, we can try to cancel this sound of vibration with an anti-sound. The anti-sound is the same waveform as the sound, but reversed in amplitude. So when they played together, they can cancel each other completely, and we can't listen to the actual sound of vibration. But here the biggest challenge is to have the exact phase alignment between the sound and the anti-sound. And if we have some phase mismatch, then we can end up amplifying the sound instead of canceling this. To have exact phase match between the sound and the anti-sound, we require the real-time control over the audio system of the smartphone. But none of the smartphone or no mobile device offer such real-time control over the audio processing system. So here is a simplified version of the audio processing system. To play the waveform, it first loads the samples in the buffer, and then at every tick of the audio clock, it sends the sample to the speaker. This loading the sample and starting the sound introduces random delay between 10 to 12 milliseconds, which is enough to have a significant phase mismatch. However, we have seen that although we don't have any real-time control over the rest of the system, we can change the audio clock, the frequency audio clock, at real time. Therefore, we can change the ongoing anti-sound, change the frequency of the ongoing anti-sound, and we, with this only parameter, how we can have the perfect phase match between the sound and the anti-sound, that is explained later. So going back to the same setting, the vibration sound is in the air, and we have to play the anti-sound. But instead of playing it with the correct frequency, we first increase the frequency a little. Now, when these two waveforms will combine, they don't cancel each other. Rather, this was a periodic cancellation and amplification, and we get a wavy envelope signal. The system listens to this waveform, this combination of the waveform, and it follows the envelope. And when the envelope comes to a minimum, we know that the sound and the anti-sound has exact phase match. So right at that moment, we change the frequency of the anti-sound to its original actual value. So this will lock the phase difference between them, and we'll get a constant destruction after that point. So this is this plot shows how this technique works in reality. So at this point, we have the vibrations. The vibration started at this moment, and after some time, we started the anti-sound. It creates the wavy envelope, and at this moment, we have the frequency switch. So we can see the reduction in the sound of the vibration, but because it can't figure out the minimum point in the envelope, we can still see some residual noise in the medium. So we can use a faint jamming signal to cover this up. So in the evaluation, the single carrier system shows around 3% error rate at higher speed. In the heat map of the transmitted and received symbol, we can see that most of the errors are adjacent to the actual symbol, which indicate that appropriate coding can improve the performance. And here this plot is for the multi-carrier system, which shows the distribution of the bit error in for different signal energy. At the highest SNR, the ripple achieved the 80th percentile error of around 2%. However, as we can see in the other plot, it shows the performance of separate carrier and bit error rate in the separate carrier. So we can see that some of the carriers work extremely good and some of them work extremely bad. So maybe careful selection of the carriers can improve the performance of the whole system a little. To summarize, we have prepared a very basic vibratory radio. There are many scope for improvement, and we are working on them. We envision that this can enable a new modality of short distance communication. Thank you.
Very cool ideas. So I have a question regarding the multi-dimension. You generate the vibration, 3D vibration, based on three vibrators or just based on one?
For here, we have used two different vibrator motor on two different axes of the accelerometer.
Oh, so it's a multiple vibrator there, right?
Yeah.
Is that a common case in a current radios?
I'm sorry?
Is that common you have multiple vibrators in a device?
So it can have different applications. Like we can have one receiver where two different smartphones is touching them from two different axes. That can be one application.
Okay.
Or
okay.
We can have one device that has two vibrator motors placed in two different axes. So they are basically transmitting along two different axes. So the accelerometer will receive a signal that is orthogonal to each other.
Okay, thanks.
Nice talk. At what SNR, what range of SNR do you communicate with at? And do you require any encoding schemes to reduce your bit error rate?
So here to calculate the bit error rate, we haven't used any encoding scheme. This is the raw bit error rate that we have shown here. But we have seen that we simply using the grayscale gray coding, then probably we can improve the bit error rate to some extent. Because most of the errors are on the adjacent symbol, so they are confusing with the adjacent symbol, so gray coding can simply help a bit.
Okay, thank you.
So I like the security model of canceling out the signal, but based on a prior talk, I'm wondering if an adversary can use two microphones to listen because of the fact that you essentially have two transmitters and now have two channels you can look at. Would that make it easy to eavesdrop on the underlying vibration signal?
Actually, this is a very valid concern that if the eavesdropper had multiple microphone or they can listen from different dimensions, then probably this system will start failing. But if we can have the the original vibration sound generator and the anti-sound generator pretty close to each other, probably we can, if they can superimpose on the top of each other, then probably we can deal with this problem to some extent. So to be honest, I don't know how it will behave in practice, but maybe that is the direction we can work on.
All right, thanks, Nirupa.